Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, hour number two. Tiki and Tierney. Midas Tiki today. He's down in Tampa hanging out with Rondé. He's probably on a boat now wearing Gucci slippers and white pants, sipping a little champagne. That's how Tiki rolls. I don't think that Rondé's going to wear that, but I think Tiki might. All right, we're live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And obviously, Duke and UNC tonight spent a lot of chunk on Zion Williamson. And I went to a place that I really rarely go to. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I threw the carrot out there. I believe he can surpass LeBron. I'm not saying stats. I'm not saying points. That's not always the measurement. And I think that's where a lot of you maybe get confused. And, you know, when you say great player and you take away greatest player and you take away the statistical element, it gets a little nebulous, obviously, because that's entirely subjective. At least if you lean on points with, like, Kareem, he's got 38,000 points and, you know, Carmelo's here and this guy's there and Dirk moved up here and Kobe's in the vicinity here. You can point to numbers to validate your claim. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just developing into the basketball player. This is going to sound like a crazy statement, but I believe he'll be a better shooter than LeBron. I do, based on his mechanics. I believe his anticipatory nature on defense is top-notch, the deflections. And that's how you know it's innate, because you're on ice for 5 weeks. You step in, you know, onto the court for the first time in that amount of time, and you're playing in the best tournament, you know, conference in America, and you have all those steals. Like, you haven't missed a beat. You have to be rusty. He doesn't miss a shot, and he's all over the map defensively. Incredible. So if you want to challenge me on that, by all means, bring it. I like that stuff. 855-212-4227. We'll get to the Steeler situation next hour. A former Steeler really going low on Big Ben. And when you actually hear it, and we'll play it for you, it's tough to defend Ben. It's a little tough to defend Ben on this one. But let's get to Kareem Hunt, all right? I think that you guys might want to chat about this as well. Now, first of all, let me start from the origin here, not the actual footage of the incident, but from a football point of view. And I understand not everybody's going to like what I'm about to say, but business is business. And that's why the Cleveland Browns were brilliant to sign him, because now they've got one of the most explosive, best running backs in the league for nothing. And you put him on ice. All right, he's got the 8-game suspension. That was announced today. He's not going to challenge it. Obviously led to his release from the Chiefs in the middle of the year last year. Damian Williams stepped in pretty nobly. Little drop-off, but for the most part was okay. And now the Browns are left with somebody who, you know, if Kareem Hunt was making $8 or $9 million a year, like if he was 2 or 3 years deeper into his career, would you be surprised? I know the running back market's odd. You got Gurley making a little bit more than Bell on the AAV right now. Bell's right around 13. You got a couple of guys making 8. Freeman got paid. He's making $8 million a year. Obviously, eventually, Barkley, he's basically knocking on the door now as a second overall pick. The point is that you, and not everybody can do it. And I want to be clear, I respect that. Not everybody can, especially something with domestic violence. I get it. The nature of the incident. You know, and when you do what I do, and when you do what Tiki does, things like this come up, and you got to take a stand, and you have to let people know what you think, and you have to be prepared to live with some negative feedback and some negative reaction, but you got to remain true to yourself. And what I said when it went down, when we actually saw the video, I want to get that to that for a second, because there's a greater point to be made about the video itself. I couldn't use the word heinous to describe it. I did not see Ray Rice in that video. I saw a guy who was sloppy, who was completely disrespectful, who was out of bounds, clearly, and absolutely deserved to get cut from Kansas City. But I did not see somebody who was beyond salvation, who lost that night his ability to be employed, or his right is probably a better word, his right to be employed by the NFL again, provided he showed contrition and he took the proper steps, which he has, and he's still in the process of doing. Some people didn't like it. Again, I get it. I respect it. That's just where I stood on that. What bothers me, though, you know, and this is something we have to really, we just have to deal with as citizens. What if there was no video? What if there was no video? If there's no video, you can make the strong argument he's still on Kansas City. You can make the argument that the NFL would have stepped in for sure because, I mean, are they going to mangle something again? They probably still would have been proactive. He's not getting 8 games. And that's where it's inconsistent. I understand. The video evidence forces you to tack on an extra percentage, whatever that might be. So if the NFL was inclined to give him 5 or 6, boom, you know what? The optics here is 2 more. Let's move on. And I'm even okay with that. I'm okay with that because you got to protect your business. Because every Sunday, if there's, you know, 80,000 people going through the turnstiles, I don't know if there's 40,000 women. It's probably 20 or 25 or 30. And you got to protect them. You have to. But this is tricky in the sense that he's going to get back on the field. He's going to score a touchdown. He's going to get cheered by the home fans. He's going to get, you know, razzled by the visiting fans as well. But I believe that Kareem Hunt deserves another chance. I do. I think he deserves another chance. And I'll tell you what, if I saw him do to that young woman what Ray Rice did to his then fiance, I wouldn't have said what I just said. I mean, you have to have, you know, at least I choose to do this. I don't know that you could have one blanket reaction. I think you've got to, you know, you've got to have a mental check place in your own heart, a system. And everybody's system is different. I get it. You know, what is truly egregious and unacceptable? I mean, well, it's unacceptable. What he did is obviously unacceptable. But is it heinous? That's a strong word. I mean, heinous is a strong word. And I did it then, and I'm not doing it now. I wouldn't categorize that as heinous. I would categorize that as somebody who didn't grow up understanding the importance of respecting women. But I don't know that that was heinous. Ray Rice, that was heinous. I mean, Ray Rice laid out his fiance. Laid her out. Like, you know, I'm 220 pounds, 6'2". If I'm walking in the elevator, almost 6'2". The back injury shaved off 1/8 of an inch. Maybe Kyler Murray took it. If I'm walking into, not to laugh at that, obviously, but, you know, with what we're talking about. But if I'm walking into that elevator, if I'm at that casino, and I'm coming back from the blackjack table or whatever, coming back from dinner, and Ray Rice hits me with that velocity, that force, I'm not getting up. I'm going down immediately. I'm not getting up. I mean, I might eventually stumble to my feet. I might grab onto the metal part of the elevator or the elevator to will myself up, but I'm going down. That's heinous. I didn't think Kareem Hunt, what he did was heinous. Mike, you heard what I said. You disagree or do you agree?
I think what he did was heinous.
You do?
Do I think it's worse than Ray Rice? I think it's different from Ray Rice. I think Ray Rice, to me, it was awful, but the fact that he showed no remorse and he was dragging her out of the elevator, because, like, in a singular moment, you never know what could actually happen. Reflex. So I don't know what was going through his mind or his body at that exact moment he threw that punch. With Kareem Hunt, I mean, he just lost his mind. And it wasn't like this one singular moment. He went after her,
yep.
Then he pushed her, then he went back and his friends, and then he went back after her again. I mean, this happened. Ray Rice happened in an instant, split second. Kareem Hunt happened over the course of a couple minutes. You know, the actual actions of him hurting the girl was going back to kick her again after she was down on the ground.
That always bothered me. I don't want to say that bothered me more than him actually pushing her, but that was the part that I couldn't reconcile.
Right. So the actual moment of Ray Rice
suspended.
Right, but the actual moment of Ray Rice was worse.
Yes.
But I also think that, like, again, in an instant, I always go back to this. I know this is not to get too anecdotal, but, like, yeah. I have a small dog. Mm-hmm. When he was a puppy, he and I were playing, and he lunged at me, and his tooth pierced through my nose. And just as a reaction, I don't know what or why, I swiped him, and I knocked him off the bed. and I've never hit him. I've never hurt him. I've never done anything. But my reaction, and listen, I mean, I'm not blaming her at all, Ray Rice's wife, but they were fighting. She came at him, and I'm not saying anything that what he did was okay, but it was a split second instant moment that who knows what you're going to do in that moment. With Kareem Hunt, he had time to stop and think, and he didn't, and he still did what he did. So I think it's as heinous, just different.
Interesting.
I do think he should play again. I also thought that Ray Rice should have played again. The difference is Ray Rice...
Well, Ray just couldn't play.
That's the difference. He was at the tail end of his career. Yep. Kareem was not there. Now, if you think about it, Ray Rice never played again. Adrian Peterson, when he used a switch on his son, he missed out on 15 games. If you think about the 7 games last year that Kareem Hunt missed, the 5 regular season games, along with the 2 playoff games, plus the 8 games this year, that's 15 games again. Between him and Adrian Peterson doing what they did, they got the same amount of time, 15 games. So do I feel like those crimes are equivalent?
Comparable, yeah.
I think that what Hunt did was worse than what Adrian Peterson did, but maybe a step below what Ray Rice did. So I think that, yes, Kareem Hunt should play again, but I don't think he should play at all a single snap this year.
Wow,
I think he should get more than Peterson, but less than Rice.
So you don't think he should play? You think he should be banned for the whole season?
For the whole season.
Wow, that was a long, long road to get to that statement. Really?
Well, because last year the NFL didn't make – he got cut by the Chiefs, but the NFL made no punishment on him. So at the end of the day, is the NFL saying, here's an 8-game suspension that we're going to tack on to those 7 games? It just looks hollow to me. Like, if you're going to suspend him, looking forward, you have to say, okay, full season, 16-game suspension. Peterson got 15 games, missed 15 games.
So, wow.
Like, at the end of the day, I just don't think he should play this year.
Okay. D-Cell, what do you think, buddy?
Is it heinous? I really struggle with it. And to your point that you said, if we didn't have video, would it feel as bad as it looked?
No.
I think you're right.
There's no black eye, thank God. There's no blood, thank God. There's no weapon, thank God. There's no strangulation marks, thank God.
I don't think it's heinous. To Mike's point, I think I would be okay if he sat out the whole year. But am I outraged by an 8-game suspension? I'm not. I think it's okay that he plays this year, but if you told me he was suspended for the whole year, I would be okay with that too.
Okay. Okay. You just heard three of us there. 1-855-212-4227. Let's give you a chance to jump in. Obviously an incredibly talented player, and there's a couple of things to peel away here. What we just unpacked, but also, do you begrudge the Browns for taking a chance? That's the other part of the conversation. We'll get those calls up. Tiki and Tierney, good stuff. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, what's happening on this Friday? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, usually preempted today on the TV side. So if you're DVRing or if you're driving home anticipating watching Tiki and Tierney as you usually do to round out your day, no luck today. So you got to go on the podcast, all the affiliates across the country, radio.com, million ways to find this, but no TV today. Obviously, March Madness is happening and the network doing their share of hoops, as you would expect. All right, so this Kareem Hunt stuff, and there's a lot of different ways to look at this. Number one, do you think the NFL got it right? Number two, do you begrudge? This actually might – actually, let me reposition this. Number one, do you begrudge the Browns for taking a flyer on him? You know, how do you separate business from ethics? Because they don't always intertwine. That's number one. Actually, a lot of times they don't. Number two, do you think the NFL got it right? 8 games, they levy that suspension. That came down today. 855-212-4227. Phones are lit all over the country. Let's start up. Mike is in Ohio. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Mike? How you doing today?
Good, BT. How you doing, man?
Awesome, brother. What's up?
See, this Kareem Hunt issue, I'm a Browns fan, but I'm not biased.
Okay.
I feel that it is below what AP and Ray Rice did, and here's why. Because from all the transcripts I read about the video and what was said, he was provoked. She called him the N-word. She said that she would go out and scream rape if she didn't let him back in the hotel room. Now, I got a bunch of friends who are black. I've seen different reactions to when they were called the N-word. Some just kind of laughed it off. A couple of my friends had sent into a blind rage.
Yep.
So, and then this double standard that we have in society now, you got the race card and then you got the violence against women. But then you've got people like Fallon Fox, who are transgender, who fight in the MMA women's circuit. So where do you draw the line between being racially charged and provoked to assaulting somebody who caused that emotion?
I know where you're going, Mike. I mean, at what point do you give the person who was offended a little leniency in reacting to what they were offended by? It's an interesting angle. Thanks for the call there, Mike. Appreciate it. Good job getting us going here on the phones with this issue. Here's the thing about, and you know, this crept into the conversation with Russell Westbrook. Let's go back a couple of days ago. Tiki and I obviously hammered it out throughout the show. And, you know, Westbrook with the fans in Utah, notorious reputation, obviously primarily just look at the arena, primarily a white fan base. And we know that Westbrook, you know, what he said, and I was all over him. Matter of fact, I actually said that Silver should have suspended him, and I stand by that. You cannot verbally challenge beating up, let alone a male fan, but a woman fan. You can't do it. Now, here's the point, not to really revisit that, but the point about the racially charged statements. The only thing I worry about, because let's face it, if I'm black and somebody says that to me, I'm ripping their head off and I'm just going to beat the crap out of them. I mean, that's just the way it is. And man on man, not man on woman, obviously. That is a license to start swinging and to start swinging hard and often. My only question, my only concern about, and there's going to be another incident, unfortunately, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the NBA, some venue, whatever, somebody at a bar, trust me, could be next week. It is what it is. I worry, though I don't think most people would do this, I do believe out of self-preservation, some people might be inclined to say, hey, they call me the N-word. What was their proof? Because when you say, and I only bring this up because if somebody does something aggressive and there's no N-word attached to it, all right, I'm talking just strictly from a race point of view right now, then the way we react to that reaction is going to be very different than we would react to it if we knew that the N-word was dropped against that person who then had the reaction that we're critiquing. And a lot, you know, there's no evidence, there's no transcript that, I know that the fan got bounced, and rightfully so, his Twitter account's, now that's heinous, his Twitter account was disgusting, and he should be bounced, he's a clown, right? Not even a clown, he's not a fully evolved human being. I don't need to call him a clown. I'm going to take that one back. He's not a fully evolved human being. We could leave it at that. But there's no evidence that he used the N-word. And some people, and you read Twitter, and I know it's not, boy, it's muddy waters on Twitter all the time. It's yucky, man. But a lot of people who didn't follow the story thoroughly, like I did, because it's my job, they assume white guy in the building, Russell Westbrook, black guy, he had to call him the N-word, but he didn't. And if he did, there's no evidence that he did. So I worry about that being used as a get out of jail card and almost a license to do whatever you want. And you got to watch out for that. Nobody really says that, but that's important. Let's get Jeff in Texas says not enough for Kareem Hunt. Okay, Jeff, take it away. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I love y'all's show, but first, I got a little issue with y'all supporting Kareem Hunt and not thinking that it's right for him to play again.
Go ahead.
I mean, regardless of, you know, black, brown, white, whatever, domestic violence is domestic violence, okay? No matter how you look at it, the guy laid a hand on his old lady, you know, and, you know, the video might show otherwise that he didn't do as bad as Ray Rice and, you know, Adrian and AP and all them. But still, I mean, violence is violence, okay? And if people are going to justify, you know, certain levels of what he did, and if they're going to allow that, you know, to allow him back in the league because of who he is and his talent-wise and regardless of, you know, what he's doing,
yeah.
You know, I just don't agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, fair enough. Let me throw this at you, man. And fair enough. Certainly respect the opinion, man, no doubt. And I agree with a lot of the things you said. The one difference, though, the NFL doesn't need Kareem Hunt. I mean, it's not like they're bending the rules for somebody that is in charge of, or I should say responsible for an infusion of tens and twenties of millions. I mean, he's a good player. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not like he's Peyton Manning. He's not, you know, Emmitt Smith, he's good. But I don't think that they're looking at him and saying, man, we really need this guy. Let's go a little lenient here. Let's go a little soft. Because if we banish him for good, if we bounce him for good, then we just lose money hand over fist. That's not true. Stop Patrick Mahomes. That's all you need in terms of the eyeballs. The quarterbacks, you know, move the needle. We know that. Good call, but I don't disagree. I don't agree with the last part. How about Nick in Wisconsin? He's got a gripe with the NFL. Nick is on Tiki and Tierney. Nick, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome, buddy. What's going on, man?
Hello?
Yeah. Everything's good. What's up? Nick.
Can you hear me? Hey, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Oh, Nick, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to get your act together. But one, two. Nick is in Wisconsin. What's up, Nick? Nick is gone. Oh, Nick. Nick is gone. Marty's in Georgia. And Marty, Mike, we got an issue with the phones. Rack that up for me. It's not. I can't ring him up. There you go. Marty's in Georgia, and Marty's on Tiki and Tierney. Go ahead, Marty.
How you doing?
All right, pal.
How you doing?
Up? I'm doing well. Well, all right. What's going on here?
My
Let's talk.
On all of this is... Hello?
Oh, boy. Yes, Marty. Take it away, sir.
My theory on this is they should be held to no higher standard in the league than they would be held in the public, as I would be. Granted, they're professional football players, but if the man's been found guilty of domestic abuse, then he should face whatever the civil penalty is. If the league wants to fine him, I think 8 games is too much.
Okay.
I think a year is too much. The man committed a crime. He didn't murder anybody. He committed a heinous crime. There's never a reason to hit a woman.
Obviously.
But there's not a reason to – this is not a capital murder case either.
Agreed. I agree.
We've become too touchy. And I don't agree with you. The N-word is the worst word in the world.
What don't you agree with? I've said the same
word.
Thing.
Huh? There's no reason to lay hands on somebody because they called you that. I'm a big, heavy set guy.
Uh-huh.
So does that give me the right to lay hands on somebody if they call me fat?
No. Marty, you want me to be real honest with you? Unless you have like a gland condition, you could lose the weight. That's on you. I mean, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. You said you're big, right? You can change your eating habits. Caloric intake, it's all basic math. You subtract calories more than the ones you take in, you lose weight. The history of our country, unfortunately, cannot be changed. So that's a horrendous analogy. I'm sorry. You're breaking up, unfortunately. I really wanted to give you a chance to respond to that. And, you know, by no means am I taking a little shot at somebody who self-professed overweight, but if you're overweight, go to the gym. Lose some weight. Don't eat so much.
I think what he was saying, though, just in general, was that words are words.
I understand what he's saying, but don't say that. There's no equivalency to somebody calling somebody fat versus calling somebody the N-word. Don't even put them in the same stratosphere.
No, but I think
there's none.
No, I agree with you 100%. And listen, I mean, I'm short. If someone makes fun of my height or I'm Jewish, even if someone makes fun of me being Jewish or whatever, I think his point is words are words. And I, as a white guy and you as a white guy, we don't fully understand and know the gravity of that word, what that is for African-Americans. So I get it. I can't say, but there's, at the end of the day, words are words. And I guess his point is, no matter what the word is, no matter how bad the word is, how disgusting the word is, and what emotion it invokes in you, it's still your reaction is still controllable. You can still control how you react to certain things.
Well, clearly. I'm not disputing that. Obviously, everybody, you know, if you have a modicum of self-restraint, you know, but the problem is a lot of times when this happens, people are hopped up on booze, people are hopped up on drugs, and then you mix in that heinous word and, you know, other words as well. Things go off the radar, and they go off the map, I should say. I guess, trust me, Mike, would I prefer, I can't even really assume what I would say, I don't even want to go there, but, or what I would do, maybe more specifically, would it be a better directive for everybody to view words as just words and walk away and just kind of say, you know what, to themselves, you know what, you're not even worth my time? I mean, if that's honestly what you think and that's how low you'll go, then there's something wrong with you, and I'm just going to go off my life and move on. And it's easy to say when you're doing a radio show, but I'm sorry if somebody and not and it's, by the way, it's the It's the venom behind the use of the N-word. It's not. It's the word, you know, when it's just a singular entity. But now you throw in the emotion and the hate behind it. I'm going to give you the right to pop somebody, another guy. I am. So,
but another woman?
Of course not. Don't even ask me that question.
But that's the whole thing with Kareem Hunt is at what point, with whatever she may have said, whatever she said, was there anything that excuses him for what he did?
No, which is why I said from day one he should have been suspended.
Exactly.
Of course. But I guess the difference is 8 games enough? You know, I'm sure the Browns have picked him up. There's a couple of the branches from that tree. But, you know. And listen, I hope he learns from this. I truly do. I watched the sit down. I personally thought he did it a little bit too early, but he came across as relatively contrite. He seemed that way. You could say, well, they coached him up. He was acting. I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, when you put yourself on a camera and you apologize and you're humble, who the hell am I to say that you're lying and that you coached up and you've been working on this all night in the hotel room with this carefully crafted statement from a PR team? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You know why? Because we'll eventually find out if you're lying or not, just based on your actions. Hopefully he's got 60 years to live. He's in his mid-20s. Hopefully he's got, 50 good years to live. We'll find out. We'll find out if Kareem learned a lesson. We'll know. Jay Berman's update coming at you right now. Here's Jay. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Spence Jr. versus Garcia. Tomorrow night, Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206 on this Friday. Friday, fool. Next hour, we're going to get into the Steelers mess, and the audio is incredible. Former Steeler really going all in on Ben. His name is Josh Harris, former running back. Literally took us in the huddle, specifically picked out a play, and flat out says Big Ben purposely fumbled because he was unhappy with the play call. Wow, can't wait to get to that. We'll do a little more golf third hour, check on the TPC Players Championship. Got the blast. Obviously, a lot of college hoops going on now. Right now, though, time for a little football at the 40.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Santa, you ready for this assignment, buddy?
Listen, I crush inbounds. I might as well crush this one, too.
All right, let's see. Let's see.
So, number one, we were talking about this a little bit earlier on, but AFC East rival, the Miami Dolphins.
I've already got three stumbles here. I mean, come on, you got to crush it.
I know. I'm off to a slow start, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
True.
Ryan Tannehill, gone from Miami, off to Tennessee.
Peace.
So, first question. Who the heck is going to start for the Dolphins? Second question, Can you see Tannehill taking the job from Mariota?
All right. The first question, they're obviously going to draft somebody. I think the only thing you have to really decipher, or will try to decipher, going up to the draft here is how many spots are they willing to move up to get whomever they covet. If the Giants are at 6, you would imagine the Giants want to take Dwayne Haskins, although these days, who the heck knows what the Giants are thinking, to be fair. The Jets are at 3. Jets don't need a quarterback. I don't think the Jets and Giants would ever do business on this kind of a trade, so that's not going to happen. The Niners are at 2. Niners, I would think, would take Bosa after the Cardinals take Kyler Murray. But is there enough incentive? Think about this. If the Dolphins move from 13 to 2, I'm just throwing the Niners there. If the Dolphins move from 13 to 2, that's 11 spots. The draft equity that the Niners could get back might be worth it if you think you could get, obviously not Bosa, but maybe the fourth best down lineman, whomever that might be. Who do I think is quarterback? And I'm going to say Locke. I could see them making a move for Locke with Miami. Now, pertaining to the Titans, Mariota's going to start. It's an interesting move, and at first I'm like, wow, that's weird. It makes total sense, though. I gave it 20 seconds more thought. Here's why I love it. Number one, they play similar styles. And one of the keys, and we talked about this a lot with Kaepernick, is if you brought Kaepernick in, there was a thought, well, 2 years ago, maybe the Giants would bring Cap in. Hey, the playbook for Eli, it's the complete opposite playbook that you'd have for Cap. So there was no consistency. But if you bring in Tannehill, who started a lot of games, he's won a fair amount of games, His touchdown to pick ratio is solid. He'd be a great backup. I think he's still a decent starter, if not maybe even a tick above decent with the right players. And you know what? Mariota, he's made out of glass. So, unfortunately, when he gets hurt again this year, if he does, you know, if he gets hurt, it should be a pretty smooth transition. I like it. It's a one-year deal, another year to evaluate Mariota. I like it. It's a smart move by Tennessee.
Sticking in the AFC East, our guys, the Jets, picked up Le'Veon Bell. PT, I don't know if you've seen this video yet, but this might make you happy.
Jets Nation, what it do? Le'Veon Bell, we are in the city. Let's go. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Jets. Jets Nation,
that's Le'Veon Bell wearing a beautiful Jets hat walking through Manhattan.
By the way, a lot of people think that that's a foreshadow of the new unis they're dropping in a couple weeks.
Certainly could be.
Good.
I still remember when Parcells brought the old unis back and got rid of those crappy mid-90s.
Parcells' first year was 97. He went 9-7. We wore those uniforms, the old ones. 98, he brought back the Titans with Namath. We won 12-4. We won the AFC East.
It was beautiful. Now, Le'Veon was asked whether or not he regrets holding out, and he says he doesn't.
Uh-huh.
He says, who knows what could have happened if I signed a franchise tender, got hurt.
Yep.
Now I'm playing on a beautiful long-term deal with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he regrets it? Do you think he's just trying to play it off? Do you think the Jets got this great deal, or was it kind of...
I think the Jets got a tremendous deal. There's no doubt. I mean, you're paying Le'Veon Bell $13 million a year. It's phenomenal. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's a safety valve for Sam Darnold. You got to stack somebody extra in the box when he's running. I mean, it just frees up the playbook and just creates a multitude of opportunities and real obvious growth spurts and possibilities for Sam Darnold. I love it. You know, listen, he's been on ice for a year, so it's easy to, especially now, where we kind of forget everything in 5 minutes, it's easy to forget how great Le'Veon Bell is. Now, was he partially great because AB stretching the field and Big Ben, you know, obviously... You know, we'll get to Ben next hour, Hall of Famer, even though he's been a little bit, you know, he's diminished a little bit. I'm sure. A little bit. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I love the move. Do I think it was a good financial move for Bell? Well, listen, he's got to spin it somewhat favorably. I don't think he got exactly what he thought he was going to get. That's being honest. But I also understand the logic behind the statement when he says, you know what? What if I played last year? So I play for $14 million and I blow out my knee. Am I getting $35 million guaranteed this year? Probably not. So he'll never quite make that 14 back. And it was a bit of a miscalculation. But I don't think it was as sloppy as it's been positioned on his end by many. And maybe that's because my team benefits that skews it. But no, really, even taking that away, listen, he's got life-changing money. And he could have gotten hurt. I mean, players get hurt. So I think he's all right.
We hit this briefly yesterday. The Raiders released both A.J. McCarron and Jordy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think either of them can still make an impact anywhere in the NFL?
Well, A.J. McCarron's never made an impact. I mean, so still make an impact implies that he's actually made an impact. He's never even come close to making an impact. We talk more about his wife than we talk about A.J. McCarron. So Jordy Nelson's different. Jordy Nelson, how old is Jordy now again? What is Jordy? He's got to be 32? I was going to actually say 33. He's 33?
He turns 34 in May, actually.
It's getting up there, man. D-Cell doesn't think he can contribute at all. You know, it's funny because we talk off air a lot, and you know, obviously bring up the Jets. I mean, would he be good in the wide receiver room? He couldn't hurt you. I mean, he's a film guy. He knows the end zone. He's going to keep his mouth shut. He'd help out a young quarterback. Can he help out a team? You know who? You know, I'll tell you who I might actually... My answer is yes, as I stammer all over the place, because I'm not really sure. I just don't see him getting behind too many people anymore, you know, and that's what he did. You know, he got by you, and he scored touchdowns with Rodgers. I'm going to give you an off-the-radar team, the 49ers. The 49ers, you know, we've seen this happen before. I'm not saying it's the same exact dynamic, but where, you know, Crabtree has, you know, when you play for the Niners or you play for the Raiders, that proximity sometimes opens up a conversation. You know what? Stay in the Bay Area. You can help us out. He's not getting big money, obviously. He might not ever play again. I mean, there is a chance that happens. But I would take a flyer on Jordy. I'm always a fan of team-first guys and players with character, no doubt.
Speaking of guys with character, Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy
B. Visited the Dolphins yesterday.
Yep. No, two days ago, before the
Tannehill trade.
Uh-huh.
Everyone thought, okay, Teddy's going to go to Miami. Maybe he'll have a chance to start. Probably will get a chance to start. No, he turns it around, goes back to New Orleans for a one-year, $7 million deal that could be worth as much as 12.5 with incentives. But it's a one-year deal. Do you like Teddy's move to stay with the Saints rather than having a chance to start now?
I don't know what kind of advice Teddy Bridgewater is getting these days. You know, and I said this to Teak the other day. Teddy's got to be, let me see, Louisville, what, 4 or 5? What is Teddy now, 26? 26? And he's 26. Thumbs up for Mike, 26. Okay. Got to start playing some football. And, you know, I don't know how much you show to the rest of the NFL that you're fully recovered, although I think he is because I saw him play with the Jets before the Jets traded him to the Saints over the summer. And I thought his fastball got a little bit better, and he got a little thicker. But he's still got to prove that he can play. And it's just like, you know, he just kind of kicks it down the road and almost avoids the what ultimately he's going to have to stop avoiding. And that's, let's see if you really are a franchise guy. I mean, what good does it do sitting in a – I mean, you're going to learn some stuff, but you got to play football. Drew Brees is under contract. You can't count on injury, and nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. So you hold the clipboard for 16 games. Maybe you get in two routes. Maybe you play a little bit over the summer. Maybe you learn a little bit more from Sean Payton. What does that do for your value? It doesn't do anything. I could see him passing up on Miami because I don't think Miami's going to be very good. And you still have to make sure you align yourself with a favorable situation. And I think that's one of the least favorable right now. But I'm surprised he went back to New Orleans. And if I'm advising him, I don't know that I would have given him that advice. That's a curious move.
Arguably, the NFL's best defense may have gotten better. Ha ha, Clinton Dix going to the Bears.
Ha ha ha, stick them.
They were third stick in the NFL last year in yards allowed and first in points allowed. Are you buying the Bears legitimately as the NFL's best defense?
The NFL's best defense. I'm just kind of scanning in my head here. I mean, yeah, Mike is saying in my ear the Ravens, but they lost Mosley. They lost a few guys. They're obviously Weddle, although, you know, you pick up a better player, I think. Mike's saying the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars defense is a little bit overrated. I'm sorry. I just think plus Fowler's gone. And I said this to Tiki, and Ngakoue is still really good, but why am I forgetting his name? 6'8 guy. We've had him on the show. Calais Campbell. He's been around a long time. Calais Campbell's got to be 34, 35. He's up there. I would say it is. I'm not going to thrust the Packers into this part of it, but the Packers pickups were good. So I'll keep an eye on them. I think the Bills defense is pretty stout. I think the Cowboys defense is pretty stout, too. Can't forget about them. And Mike says the Texans. Nah, I'm not going to say the Texans. They lost Tony Badger as well. I'll say it is, but not by a wide margin and not with any sort of conviction. It's up for grabs.
Last one, yep. OBJ tries to make a joke about being called, quote, a cancer on Twitter. He says, I'm not a cancer, I'm a Scorpio. Ha ha, ha ha. Do you really think that OBJ is a locker room cancer?
No. First of all, I think that's incredibly corny. I mean, it's one thing if you're sitting around and you say that to somebody, it wouldn't be funny then. And I'm not saying every joke I put on Twitter hits gold. I mean, they don't, but that's terrible. I mean, that's horrendous. That's a horrendous script to work off of. Did anybody really think that was funny? I don't think he's a cancer. The problem with Odell Beckham Jr., number one, he's a fierce competitor. And the people who become cancers are those who are lazy and still expect to be treated like a king. Guys who are injury prone and aren't diligent in rehab. And guys that are drinking, drugging, and sleeping in and getting caught driving 115 behind the wheel when they shouldn't be. He's none of those things. But the Giants allowed him way too much latitude from the first day. Coughlin messed up. They all messed up. I believe he's going to conform. I believe he's a good young man. Not the funniest guy off that tweet, but no, I do not think he's a cancer. I think that's incredibly unfair, a wrong characterization of Odell Beckham Jr. Good job with that, Santer. Not flawless, but acceptable. All right, coming up, the Steelers and Big Ben. Can't wait to get to this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.